Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, imagine coaching a basketball team. You coach the team in all the drills. So there you are, you're coaching them in the dribbling drills, the passing drills, the layup drills, the shooting drills, and they nail the drills. And now imagine that the first game comes about and they freeze. Why? Well, because drills are not the game. That the players don't understand how to look for open space and move into it, how to move together as a team, and when on defense, how to close off the open space. They don't understand the game. The best players don't simply know drills. They understand the game. Likewise, many Christians know the foundational drills of Christianity. Read your Bible, pray, evangelize, forgive, be committed to church. These are all essentials of the Christian life. But unless we understand God's great story and know how those foundational drills fit together, when life becomes complicated, we will be thrown. And life does get complicated. The Bible is inviting us into God's great redemptive plan. The Bible is not primarily a manual for successful living through a set of rules. No, the Bible gives the unfolding account of God's redeeming work through Jesus Christ. The Bible's commands, they're actually covenantal. They're redemptive. They flow from the story God is telling, rather than existing as some sort of isolated rules over here for self-improvement. God does want to change you. God does want to change me. Not through a list of rules, but through God's grand story of his Son. Today is week four of how people change. In week one, we were reminded that God gives us everything we need to grow us in godliness. In week two, we were reminded that Jesus is with us to change us, and that Jesus' primary target is our heart. Not our simply behavior modification, but changing our heart. Last week, we learned that change is a community project. We need deliberate, accountable relationships in order to become more like Jesus. Today, we're going to see the big picture. It is tempting to think that the Bible is just a random collection of stories and commands and teaching and poetry and history. But the Bible actually provides an overall picture of life. It's important to see the big picture if we're to make sense of our day-to-day interactions in this life that we live. And when it comes to how God changes us, the big picture consists of four elements. Once we learn these four things and we work with the four elements, life actually becomes less anxious and less overwhelming. It becomes more hopeful and more joyful. The four elements are knowing what life is like outside the garden, heat. Knowing who we are as fallen human beings, thorns. Knowing who Jesus is as Savior and Lord, cross. Knowing how God progressively changes us, fruit. Nicole and I were introduced to this big picture 15 years ago, And God has used it to help us navigate the ups and downs of life on a weekly, if not daily, basis. This is the big picture, the playing field of life. Life as life really is, which God uses to change his children. But don't take Nicole and my word for it. We're going to see it from the Bible. Okay, so here's how this week's sermon's going to track. Firstly, we're going to see the big picture in Jeremiah, the big picture. Then we're going to look at the apostles, Paul's life, so Paul and Heat. And then we're going to have a think about our lives, us and Heat. The big picture, Paul and Heat, us and Heat. That's where we're headed. And so firstly, the big picture. And when it comes to this big picture that I'm introducing you to this morning, it's not like we can go somewhere in the Bible and I can go, whoop, see, there it is. It's more the vibe of the Bible. Heat, thorns, cross, fruit. It's really just how life works. And God lets us know how life works. And so have you got your Bible open? Jeremiah chapter 17. If you don't know how to find books in the Bible, here's what I do. I go to the front of the Bible, find the table of contents, find the book Jeremiah, then there's a page number next to it, then I know how to find Jeremiah. So Jeremiah 17, I'm going to reread the verses again. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub, if you like, he's like a thorn bush in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. So you hear heat. But now we're looking at a tree that produces good fruit, for its leaves remain green and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. The reality of life is on display for us in this passage. Life now is not how God intended it to be. In the very beginning of the Bible, third chapter, Genesis chapter 3, we learn that God removed Adam and Eve from the garden with God's presence because of their rebellion. And then now, all of us, just like Adam and Eve, are outside the garden because of our rebellion. Outside the garden, there is heat. Did you see heat mentioned in Jeremiah 17, verse 8? Now, heat can be bad. A toxic boss, a narcissistic teacher, an abusive parent, a cost of living crisis, a drought. Now, the heat can be good, an inheritance, a new friend, a romantic interest, winning a game. I do have lots of sporting themes, don't I? And then there's all the neutral experiences we come across every single day, just life outside the garden. We're being hit. Heat is our situation in life with difficulties, joys, and temptations. In Jeremiah 17:6, the shrub in the desert represents the person who does not trust in the Lord, who turns away from the Lord. Thorns are our ungodly responses to heat. Thorns include our behavior, the heart that drives that ungodly behavior, and the consequences that result from our ungodly behavior. And note well, verses 5 to 7 describe God the Redeemer. It's all there. God who comforts, God who cleanses, God who empowers those who trust him. The big picture includes the work God does in our lives, both to save us and to change us. The big picture represents God's work by the cross, to remind us of God's purpose, God's promises, God's presence in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, God brings comfort, he brings cleansing, and he brings the power to change. And in verses 7 and 8, we see the metaphor of a fruit tree. This represents the godly person whose trust is the Lord. The fruit that comes out of such a tree of trusting in the Lord, there's our behavior. The heart changed by God's grace and the harvest of fruit that comes through God's work in our life. And then verses 9 and 10, God just keeps reminding us, he's after the heart. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts do want to make us respond in thorns rather than fruit. And so there's the summary, this next slide of just heat and then situations in daily life. Are we there? Go to that next slide. Yep, there we are. Heat and thorns and cross and fruit. And you can see what's represented there. I'm loving this series, church. I'm loving hearing us in point groups and sharing with each other, hearing us take on change projects. Here's how God changes us. Now, as some of you know, I do love basketball. As a matter of fact, I still have dreams in this old age where I'm just as agile and fast as 30 years ago. My position was point guard, which meant not only did I have to know how to dribble and pass the ball, I needed to see the big picture. I needed to be able to see the game, so I knew how to move the team so we could penetrate the defense, seeing the big picture. Seeing the big picture, it's true in all of life. A builder first learns all the skills and drills of the trade. But a good to great builder is able to see the end product in their mind's eye, so they know where to put a weight-bearing wall versus not to put it. How to project manage people and suppliers. How to project manage cost flow. In sport, in work, in relationships, in life, it's important to see the big picture. There are drills and skills, yes, but then there's how it all plays out. And when it comes to everyday life, God is kind. He shows us the big picture. Heat comes at us nonstop. We can choose in the heat not to trust him, and the consequences will be thorns. Or we can choose to go down deep with God, in the cross, in his word, by his spirit. And we will be like a fruit tree that brings a harvest of godly fruit. That is the big picture. Now let's see what it actually looks like down on the ground in the life of someone. So turn now to 2 Corinthians. We're actually going to see this play out in the Apostle Paul's life. So we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Find that in your Bible, where we see Paul and heat. This is a favorite passage of many Christians because in it we hear and see that God is the God of all comfort, which might seem a little strange after last week. Do you remember how I poo-pooed comfort last week? And so as we come to this passage this week, we're going to see how heat and thorns and cross and fruit play out in the Apostle Paul's life to show us that the comfort that God brings to his children is very, very different to the comfort we're striving after with modern individualism. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, with which you experience which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, sisters, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing God granted us through the prayers of many. Paul does not hide the heat that he suffered when he wrote this letter. In verse 8, Paul refers to the affliction he experienced in Asia. And don't quickly brush past that word affliction. Oh yeah, yeah, Paul suffered affliction. No, he paints it out for us. He was burdened beyond his strength. He despaired of life itself. And note verse 9. He felt. Paul felt he received the sentence of death in his bones. He thought he was going to die. We can hear Paul's overwhelming fear. This was the heat Paul was under. Then in verse 9 and 12, we hear the potential for thorns to have come out of Paul. It was possible for Paul to be self-reliant and follow worldly wisdom, which is how I'm often tempted when I face heat myself. Rather than pray and seek godly counsel from those around me, I panic and try and fix. Or I'll just excuse my angry response or my prolonged anxiety or my whingy, pouty mood. Paul also points us to the cross. God is the God of comfort, verse 3. God is present in our affliction, verse 10. God's power, he raises the dead, verse 9. The prayers of other Christians, verse 11. And then running through these verses, do you hear the evidence of the fruit in Paul's life? He had visible joy, verse 3. He has endurance, verse 6. Paul trusted in God, verse 9. Paul had godly behavior, verse 12. And Paul's continued ministry through it all, verses 5 to 7. I'll tell you why I bagged out our modern pursuit of comfort last week, even though we know that God is the God of all comfort. Our modern pursuit of comfort completely ignores reality. The big picture, the playing field, life as it truly is, involves heat. But our modern pursuit of comfort is built on the premise we can avoid heat. We just need to take the right supplements, eat the right foods, do the right exercises, choose the right friends, study the right books, listen to the wisest podcasts, follow the best influencers, find the right spouse, build a secure investment portfolio, think positive thoughts, tactic, 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 drill, drill, drill. And if we do it all and we get it all right, we'll have nothing but comfort. All in the foolish pursuit of avoiding all discomfort. As if that's even possible. God, on the other hand, lovingly tells us that life outside the garden involves heat. And yes, there is wisdom in trying to avoid bad heat. And let me just be really clear at this point on one point in particular. If you're someone who is caught up in domestic violence, God is not calling you to just stay in the heat. Let us help you get out of that immediately. But generally speaking, if we return to God's picture, it is foolish to assume we can completely avoid bad heat. What our good Father wants to show us is better than avoiding bad heat at all costs, we must learn how to trust God in the heat. Instead of immediately responding as a thorn bush, remember who God is and what God has done at the cross. We must allow the heat to take us down into the cross. We pray for the work of God's Spirit to reveal God's power and His promises and His presence. We ask the Spirit to do heart work on us. Oh, and the fruit that comes from that is a harvest of godliness. It's always better than the thorns of self-reliance. Paul had many reasons to be angry, bitter, anxious, self-righteous, afraid, isolated. Paul even prayed, desperately prayed for a certain affliction to be taken away from him. But when God didn't, listen to how Paul prayed. At the end of this 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited," so that's Paul writing, "because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Wow. What a prayer. That was Paul in heat. Let us turn to us in heat. Like the Apostle Paul, we will all find ourselves in situations that seem beyond our ability to endure. Maybe problems in our church leave you overwhelmed. Maybe you have no idea how you'll make ends meet in our financial situation. Maybe your marriage has been broken for years. Maybe you're trying to be godly in a godless workplace and you're over it. Maybe you finished uni, you have no idea what God wants you to do next. Maybe everyone around you is moving on in life and you're still waiting. Maybe you're trying to follow Jesus in a culture that thinks your convictions are idiotic. Maybe anxiety, loneliness, disappointment has become your daily companion. Whatever the heat is, the Bible says the most important question is not, how hard is the pressure? No, the most important question is, what is happening in my heart under this hard pressure? Where do you feel like you're beyond your ability to endure? Like I said, this big picture has helped Nicole and I tremendously. I realize that under heat, I tend to be an angry man. Now, in my early 20s, I actually had to quit basketball for 2 years because I recognized my reputation as a Christian and my reputation on the court. Not good at all. And over the years, as God, through his word, by his spirit, with accountable relationships, chips away. It's not like I don't get angry anymore, but just seeing how God has grown me over the years. Yesterday, Nicole and I were reflecting on a situation where our reputation in a certain situation was sort of being, like, it just wasn't a good thing that was being said. And we recognize in that moment, okay, Steve's temptation is to get angry, Nicole's is to get anxious. What are we going to do about this situation? And go, okay, we could choose thorns, bitch and moan and complain about someone else. Well, no. Remember the cross. Remember who God is. Remember what he has done for us and how he is changing us. And let me say, after all these years, it's still a process. But man, oh man, is it helpful. Nicole and I just need to look at each other and now go, what heat are you under right now? Well, maybe you're at the opposite end of the scale. You know, where are you coasting under self-reliance because the heat you're experiencing is mostly positive? Remember, heat is just capturing the idea that we're outside the garden. And so there's heat, negative, and there's blessing. For instance, a substantially large inheritance has the potential to take you away from the Lord or take you deeper into the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God enters our stories with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he shows us where we are and where we need to change. Heat, thorns, cross, fruit are four pictures that combine into one big picture to help us understand our lives from God's perspective. Through his word, by his spirit, in the community of his church, God meets us and changes us in the middle of life's challenges. The aim is not to avoid heat. With God, the heat can actually get hotter. But God promises. He promises. He will always be with us in the furnace so that we can face what we need to face with hope, with endurance, and even with joy. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are a good, good Father. We've been singing about that all morning. You are our hope in suffering. You are with us. Make our hearts believe. And Father, as a family, would we help each other, particularly when someone's in the furnace? Father, would we be a family that help each other run to good fruit rather than bad thorns? And we pray this so that the world would see how good you are and that we would find our deepest joy in you, not our circumstances. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.